Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's my favorite place to be. For a change, I did have a title to give Julie this week to put in the bulletin. As you can see, I titled our lesson for today, Spiritual Harvest. I want to begin today. Let's just go to Hosea to start today. And we'll begin there in chapter 10 of Hosea. In verse 12 it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love or kindness. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, until He comes and showers righteousness on you." So this is the verse that the Lord showed me to begin with today. I want to look at spiritual harvest, our spiritual harvest. So we walk in the Spirit. We're a spiritual man, not a natural man anymore. So what is our spiritual harvest? What are we looking for in the harvest? Before going farther, let's just go to the Lord in prayer so I can get this started correctly. Father, I thank You this morning for Your love. I thank You, Lord, that You've called each one of us to Your service, Father, and that You have a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. So Father, as we look at Your word today, make us aware of Your plan for our lives, what we, Father, should be doing in Your kingdom for Your glory. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So, through Scripture, we see that our spiritual life is often related to farming, sowing and reaping, if you would. And this is the time that, so I grew up in farming. That's the way what our family did. We grew up farming, and I was planning on farming for life when I was growing up. That was my plan. As a youngster, I can remember I love the springtime because you've got new growth. We planted crops in the springtime, and the only reason that we planted them were we were expecting a harvest. We were expecting to grow a crop. And I probably remember the most starting out on an old John Deere B tractor with cultivators on it. I was just big enough to get up on it and make it go. It had a hand clutch, so I was able to push that in and make it go and stop and when I needed to. And so I would go out and cultivate corn, and I would just go for hours and hours cultivating two rows of corn at a time with this little John Deere B. And I would get so sleepy, and I'd get tired. I'd have to stop and get off and walk around a little bit to wake up. I can remember plowing out corn, and Deborah holler at me for plowing corn out because I'd fall asleep. But it was just, that's how I started farming. I don't know how old I was. I was just a little guy because I can remember the old John Deere B had a crank or wheel to start it with, and I would have to jump up and get a hold of that wheel and then drop all my weight on it to get it to turn over. It was just, so I wasn't very big yet. I was just a little guy. And I started helping with things on the farm, and that's how we grew up. But every spring we had to, when we would get ready to plant, we'd have to go and pull all the rocks off the field. So most of you who farm in Marr County know that we have a lot of rocks. And so we would take what we called a stone boat, and that was just a wood sled that Dad had made to throw rocks on. And us boys would have to go out, and there was about, I guess there was four of us at that time that were able to handle rocks, and we would go out and just pick up rocks for hours. The most monotonous job you've ever heard of. And if none of you have had that experience, it's probably something everybody should do in their life, is to have a chance to pick up rocks sometimes. Right? It's just, it was never fun. But if you didn't get the rocks out of the field, it would tear up the equipment. You would tear up the plant, or you would tear up, it would just tear up equipment, something awful if you don't pick the rocks each year. And I don't know why they came up every year, but they did. It's like we planted rocks and they just multiplied. So, but that was part of my growing up experience. And then after you picked the rocks, then you had to till the ground and work it up so that you could get a good seed bed, a good place for the plants, for those seeds to grow. And we figured out that the more seeds you plant, the more you would grow, the more you would produce. We started out there on that little farm of Dad's with, I don't know, we were probably started out planting maybe 100 acres of crops, and we kept clearing fence rows and making it more. And but when we started, the ground was so poor that we just made very little crops. We probably started out with 60 bushels to the acre maybe of corn, because it was just a run down old farm. They hadn't taken care of it. And so Dad would continue, we hauled manure every year, we fertilized, we built the crops, built the place up, and when he finally finished farming, he was growing probably 200 bushel to the acre crops. So that's how much this farm improved from the time I was little to when Dad finally quit growing crops there and came to work building houses. But this was the life I was planning on. I understood sowing and reaping, springtime and harvest. And so as I was reading and looking at the Word of God, doing my daily stuff, this is where the Lord led me to share together today our spiritual lives, how we sow into people's lives, how we spend our time cultivating and grooming and doing things for the kingdom to get a harvest. So I wanted to share that today and just correlate between a farmer's life and the life of a Christian. We always celebrate in the fall. We have a harvest party here normally every year. And I think that's why Thanksgiving was started, was because of the harvest. Because it was a time to give thanks to the Lord for the harvest, because that always happens in the fall. Always took the crops off in the fall. I want to begin today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the scripture that talks about the laws of sowing and reaping. And we've always used this, 2 Corinthians, we've always used this scripture with finances and money, but I'm just going to spend a little something different on it today. 2 Corinthians 9. Beginning at verse 6 and reading down through 12, if you want to follow along. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. It will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So as you look at these verses, as I said, I've always used these verses to talk about giving, about tithing, about our gifts for the church. And as I looked at this time, I realized that he's talking about more than that. He's talking about also our spiritual gifts. What we do to plant seed in the lives of others. Because he's talking about here harvest of your righteousness. The verses that I read from Hosea there were talking about a harvest of our righteousness. The things that we do right, the things that we share with those around us that are good for them to grow. The original verses there in out of Hosea that I talked to you about talked about acts of kindness, sharing. Jen talked about that in her devotions this morning, about sharing with others. So as Christians, we'll every day we're going to be around people, we're going to be doing things that are a service to others, that are a benefit to others, that are growing others. And so as in our Christian lives, we have to sow seed of righteousness into their lives so that we can expect a harvest. Over in John chapter 4, let's just back up to John here now and look at some verses there. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 31. It says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And his disciples said one to another or to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" They were wondering what he's talking about, if he has food that they don't know anything about. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So we see in these verses that not all the time do we do the sowing and the reaping in someone's life. You may sow the seed, somebody else might water it, but God brings the increase. And there's lives that we've touched that we don't know the outcome of their lives. But it's important that we sow some seed into others' lives as we go through life. It's important that we begin to sow seeds of righteousness. It's so that we can be part of the harvest, so that we'll have a harvest. Father's keeping track of what we do. It says whenever we go before Him in heaven at the final days, that He's going to open the book and see what we've done, whether good or bad. See whether we've done what He's asked us to do. So there's going to be a harvest, and we may be part of the harvest. You may be the one who leads that person to Jesus Christ. Or you may be the one who just sows the seed. But you're part of the equation. And that's why we have to pay attention to what we sow, so that we can get a spiritual harvest. So we see there in verse 35 of John chapter 4 that we need a zeal for souls. We have to have a zeal, as it were, a want to. We have to want to sow into other people's lives. We have to want to share our time with others in doing what to change their lives, to make a difference for eternity. Because we know that unless somebody tells them, they won't know about Jesus Christ. So it's important that we're willing to share in what God's task is for the kingdom. And then we see in verse 36 there, it says, even now the reaper draws his wages, even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. So there's joy in serving Christ. Joy in soul winning, in winning someone's soul for eternity. I don't know of anything that brings more joy than leading someone to Jesus Christ. It's just one of the things that is just, it's awesome to be able to be part of that equation. And then you see down in verse 38 that it talks about sometimes we reap the benefits of someone else's labor. We don't know what's happened before we get to someone. So if we're the one who gets to reap the joy of bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's because somebody else sowed the seed. Somebody else put time into their lives and did some soul winning before we got there. In Matthew chapter 9, I want to finish up here in Matthew today. Matthew 9:35-37. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So that's our calling, to go out into the harvest field, to go out into the world and plant seed for the sowers, to plant seed for those who would come to Jesus Christ and walk in his ways. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I would say today that we want to be part of the spiritual harvest. We want to walk in the ways that God would have us to walk, so that someone, as you pass through life, as you pass through the day even, that you can share Jesus Christ with someone and it will make a difference in their life, and they can come to know Him as their Savior. So as you go out this week, remember that you are part of sowing and reaping. That you, unless you spend time with someone, unless you share time with them, share with them the gospel of salvation, and see lives changed, then you will be able to take part in the harvest and be what God wants you to be. So as we close today, as we have the last song, if anybody has a need for prayer this morning, please come up. We'd love to pray with you. Matt and Jess and I will be here. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to have you do that this morning. So anything at all that you'd like us to pray with you about, well, Simon will do that with you.